At Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, we make home service easy. We guarantee same-day service and installation with no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays. Family-owned for 53 years, Four Seasons has over 30,000 five-star Google reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. For all your plumbing, heating, cooling, and electrical needs, for all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
I feel like this is Friday's show all over again.
Yeah, why is that?
Well, Friday, I castigated everybody in the wake here that we didn't have Cavs in five energy.
Okay.
All right, and one little playoff loss has people losing their ever-loving minds. And I get it. We did a little bit of that yesterday. It's game time, and I'm hearing just a little too many panicky patties today.
Okay, so I'm a little bit of a panicky. What'd you call it? A panicky what?
Panicky patty.
A panicky patty?
Yeah.
I'm a little bit of a panicky patty. And it's not because I think the Cavs are going to lose the series. That's not the case. But it's just today's a wild card. I don't know who's going to play. How do I give analysis of a game that I have no idea who's even going to be on the court?
Full disclosure, some of this is being brought to you by Daryl Ryder's panicky patty ass and Baskin and Phelps today, where he just gave the Cavs no chance to win if DeAndre and Evan don't play tonight. I'm like, it's the playoffs. There are no excuses. If they can't play, next man up. Thank you. Which team won 64 games?
Well, and we also been bragging about our deep bench for how long now?
But apparently it's not that deep of a bench.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Not if a couple injuries are going to keep us out of the equation.
Much more of an average-sized bench, if you ask me. Been saying that for a while.
What the streets have been talking about.
Listen, am I nervous for tonight? Yes, you should be. It's the NBA playoffs. I think what the reaction to game one proves, though, is that we've all forgotten what it's like to lose a game in the playoffs. I didn't even hear the cliche. What is the biggest cliche about losing game one? It's a feel-out game.
Series doesn't start until you lose at home, right?
But what's the other one? Game one's a feel-out game.
Feel-out game, okay.
I didn't hear that once. We didn't even say it.
Well, it wasn't supposed to be a feel-out game, considering the Miami series had no feel-out games.
So again,
the Miami game warped us, Nick. That was the problem. The Miami game got us fat and happy and had us believing as if the whole postseason until Boston was just going to be a repeat of the regular season.
So I'm glad you said that, because yesterday we played Jay Williams, who normally his basketball analysis is just awful. For a guy that played in the NBA.
Please, tell us how you really feel about Jay Williams.
He is the Chase Daniel.
Don't hold back now.
He is the Chase Daniel of NBA. I don't even know what the hell he said today, but wasn't he the one that was like, Jalen Brunson's the greatest Knick that ever played?
That was last week.
The guy that's never been to an NBA Finals.
Yeah, that
okay,
was last
Jack.
Week, yeah. Three years of Jalen Brunson, and he's better than Patrick Ewing. Okay, then.
Thank you for following the NBA the second
you got into
it. You know
what sucked about that? Over the weekend, then, so my brother-in-law went to Duke, and he came over. He's in from New York this weekend, and it's him and my father-in-law, and I'm like, did you hear what Jay Williams said? Did you hear what he said?
You're not going to get a Dukie to turn against a Dukie.
And, well, and then it turned into an argument. I was defending like John Starks over the 3 years of Jalen Brunson is what it turned into. Just an exhausting conversation.
Same guy, if you ask me. The same guy. All Jalen Brunson. By the way, good game one there. New York, you made that. But no, we didn't even do the cliche. But you're right. Like Jay Williams accused the Cavs of being lazy and disinterested.
Yeah.
Which was a wild take. Like, I agreed with the idea that the Cavs did not show up with game one energy, game one home energy, and it took them a while to wake up. That's not the same thing as being lazy, right? Lazy is a personal statement you would make about the Cavs.
Yeah,
I don't think
you
Cavs
choose. You choose to be lazy.
So, I certainly do.
I do often as well.
But that's why we work in radio.
Hello.
But specific to this, like, to me, like, okay, that's we were the same way. Like, I don't think we woke up until they lost.
Us, the
fans.
Broadcasters, fans, everyone talking about this game.
I think everybody.
So now we are alive. We felt alive for the first time this postseason, because that's what it feels like to me.
I mean,
it feels like we're alive for the first time this postseason.
We've gone from being fully slept on Friday, where it's like, guys, is this thing on? Is this thing on? From that to tonight is a must win. By the way. Can we just continue to destroy this cliche?
I mean, it does feel like a must win.
Every game in the NBA playoffs is a must win.
That's why you can say it's a must win.
I've never been to an NBA playoff
game
where
I'm
like, you tank this one tonight.
I can never be wrong living with that idea. Every game we would just call a must win. Well, and it's because then you have to say the series score after the win, the impending win. So it's like, well, you can't go down 2-0.
That's true.
As if that's insurmountable.
It's true, which, by the way, you can go down
0-2,
and you can still win this series.
Moves to 1-1. I'm going to call game 3 must win, because going to 2-1 is such a big deal compared to 1-2.
And then
Nick.
When you get to 2-1, don't stop
it
there.
It becomes a must win
because
for game 4.
You have them on the ropes.
Well, then,
right? You got to step on their neck.
And you really got to move this thing forward.
And then we get to 3-1.
Well, then it's when we're in closeout games. Can't close out.
You can't close.
It's a must win. You got to showcase that you can close out in these
games.
What
if you get to 3-2 then?
Well,
that's so much worse than 3-1.
You can't get to a game 7, Nick.
No, you can't.
So, game 6 becomes a must win, in my opinion.
Has anyone heard that anything can happen in game 7?
Anything can happen.
Because
we throw the record books out for game 7.
That's true.
That's what I always say.
That's true. Nothing matters in games, except everything matters in game 7, because it also is a must win. So, no, tonight does not feel like a game 7.
I think we could have done that for 10 more minutes.
That's our version of who's on first.
That's exactly what that is. So, yes, every game is a must-win game, and every game matters a great deal. Welcome to postseason basketball. Thank you.
But can we agree it doesn't feel like a game 7?
It doesn't feel like a game 7.
Now, if you lose tonight and you get to a game, then it'll feel like a game 7.
Is that it?
Tonight
feels like a game
5.5. That's what tonight feels about. Right?
That's like the lazy river ride of games. Okay.
It's starting to pick up.
We can go down it. It might get a little rocky, but you'll be all right no matter what.
But you know there's a limitation to it.
You'll be all right no matter what.
It's not going to turn into the rapids. It's just a little
I'm excited for this game tonight. I'm genuinely excited. Hey, for a game that Vegas has continued to just believe that all these players are going to play and just not moving off their line, I'm genuinely excited.
So with that, I am blown away, surprised, shocked. Bewildered, befuddled, all of the bees.
Run amok.
I have been run amok once. I'll be run amok again. Give me enough time. I'm just blown away that the Thunder and Celtics losing last night did nothing to cure the panic in Cleveland. Like, I really thought that should have been like the all right, we snap back to it. It's the playoffs. You're not going to sweep your way through this. It's not LeBron James, Cleveland Cavaliers. And, like, there are real things to get to here. And I still, by the way, still Cavs in 5.
But I can tell you the difference, though. And yes, still Cavs in 5. The difference is that nobody believes in the Boston series or the Thunder series that it's going to go any other way but Boston winning that and the Thunder winning it. And you can explain within those games last night. Boston's not going to miss 45 three-pointers in any game the rest of the postseason. Mm-hmm. That's just not going to happen. And Tatum might disappear in the fourth the way that he did last night, but it's not going to be that way. And then Jokic is good for a game or two. He's going to be able to snipe a game or two off the Thunder. That's what happens when you're a three-time league MVP winner. So, like, there's causal and actual reasons attached to all that, where with the Cavs, it's injuries. And injuries can tank you in many ways. I think that's what fans are scared of.
So I'm glad you said the injuries thing. Because I think without the injuries, I do think the Celtics and Thunder game would have brought us back down to earth. But
for sure, without the injuries, I think we're looking at that and saying, yeah, you can lose a game in the second round of the postseason. That does happen from time to time.
But I got to say, guys, like, no one's healthy. Like, Donovan's not even on the injury report right now, and Donovan's not healthy. It's apparent if you watched him in game one. He's battling something. It might, by the way, it might just be going from not playing or playing four games in 2 weeks to then turning around and playing a hell of a game in game four and needing more. Like, I'm not saying he's seriously injured, but he's clearly not 100%. Like, it's the playoffs. This idea that, I mean, overnight, it really did feel like everyone went for him. Cavs in five, Cavs in six, too. I don't know if they can win now. And I'm like, guys, it's serious. Like, I don't know if DeAndre or Evan's going to play tonight. That should have us a little puckering. They're really good at basketball. You're better when you have them. Same thing with Darius Garland.
You sound a little bit like a panicky Patty.
No, I'm not panicking.
You sound a little bit like a panicky
Patty. I'm saying you can say these things like, yeah, that sucks. If those guys don't play, it's going to be harder to win. It's not impossible. You still have Donovan Mitchell. You still have a lot of guys who play really well with Donovan.
You're still a 7.5-point favorite for a reason. I don't want to.
Which feels like a trap.
Why are we
now? Can I go the opposite way? That feels like a trap.
Why are we entering this game? I didn't realize people were entering this game as if we were like down and out, and all of a sudden we should wave the flag. Why even play the game? I didn't know people were entering it that way.
The last thing I listened to before we went to our show meeting today was Mr. Panicky Patty himself,
Daryl
Ryder.
That's going to be be tough.
But it's wild. Like the Windhorst thing yesterday, you know, the Cavs had been privately concerned about the Pacers. You know when that would have been nice to know? Before game one.
Fedor told us.
All this stuff came out.
Fedor told us
after they lost. Well, Fedor did, but he's the bright shining light.
He was the only one, though. He was the only one.
Everyone else was selling a fight. And then this game, it's like, well, now I really don't know if the Cavs can beat the Pacers. It's like, come on. How much overreactionary?
So on the other side of that, though, Nick, so in the first breath, we can talk about the Cavs injuries, and I think that's very valid, and obviously that's something we'll keep an eye on. But on the other side of it, where you're like, everyone's injured, well, Halliburton looks like he's playing the best basketball he's played all year long. Siakam looks unstoppable. You got all sorts of guys. It's more than just Mathurin and the other people. Like Nembhard, for instance, is looking incredible. Like the Pacers seem like they're peaking at exactly the right time.
I cannot wait for the Cavs to get the dub tonight, and I cannot wait for everything to reactionarily go back the other way.
Well, so the beautiful part about that is that if you do beat the Pacers when they're at 100% and they seem 100% healthy, and if we're like a three-legged starving dog right now, then just shut it down for the rest of the series.
Like I'm caught somewhere between very, very happy that the playoffs have officially started. We're all in the game. We're all a little panicky. Love that. With the pendulum has swung far too extremely in one direction, and I'm excited for the Cavs to put that thing like a typewriter back in place. Right? We've gone all the way to the right.
Yeah.
Set that be the left.
It's the last time you used a typewriter. Have you ever used a typewriter?
Once? Is it bad that I know I've used one. I just don't remember the last time because computers.
I definitely used one for like a 7th grade science fair project because I went over to a friend of mine's house that I was doing the project with, and his mom had a typewriter, and she typed it all up on this typewriter, and it was so exhausting. So
it's too much
work. Forever. Well, and then you made a mistake, and you had to redo the whole thing.
Yeah.
How was that society?
It used to be harder to earn your keep back then, though. Right, that's when you really appreciated whiteout. That's when you really appreciated. I'm just doing the old man thing right now. 216.
Big whiteout, man. That business has got to be struggling.
474-0092. Want to hear from you guys today. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We got plenty for you today. Mike Sando of The Athletic going to be joining us at 3:20 today. We'll get his thoughts on the strength of schedule for the Cleveland Browns. And, well, I think we have to bid adieu to JP's, cheaper international-built jersey that he had for Shador Sanders. We do have Albert Breer coming up at 5:20 today. Plenty, plenty, plenty of opportunities for you guys to get in on the show. Does tonight feel like a Game 7? Is tonight a must-win? They're all must-wins, but we'll get into that. Really, who has to step up tonight? And we got to talk about this Kenny Atkinson criticism as if he was doing what J.B. Bickerstaff used to do. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Nick and J.P. back on Afternoon Drive, live from the Cleveland Cleveland.
I hardly know her.
In downtown Cleveland. If you are on your way to Game 2 tonight, make sure to stop on by the bar, see us. It's always great to see everybody. One of our favorite parts about doing any of this stuff is just getting to see your faces and it's regrettable that you have to see my face looking back at you, but that's kind of part of the bargain. You got to deal with it. I smile. sometimes.
You do smile.
It doesn't look like I smile. It looks like I'm kind of Dracula. But I promise you, somewhere within this, I am smiling.
Between that and my RBF, we're really killing it as far as being, you know, like, hey, we're welcoming to have you come on over and say hi.
We have double RBF on this show. Yeah. There is no joke about that.
We don't hate you. We want you to come say hi, but it's going to be with a look of aplomb.
Mick Ultra, want to say big thanks to our friends Mick Ultra for having us out. But as we have the conversation about the Cavs in Game 2 tonight and who has to step up and does it feel like a Game 7, you know, we played the Kenny Atkinson stuff yesterday in real time because we got the press conference was happening at the beginning of the show, and I really didn't have any problem with it. Did you? Like, I don't remember either of us having an issue with anything that Kenny Atkinson had to say about physicality and the refs.
No, it's what he should have said.
Yeah.
I think that was the consensus.
So I was kind of blown away today because we're going to play the little piece of sound here. It's about a one-minute clip about Kenny Atkinson talking about the injuries from Game 1 and really where he was at and maybe some frustration that he had. We're going to play that, and then we're going to react to it because I actually think people are doing Kenny Atkinson dirty. Here's Kenny.
Utmost respect for Indiana and Rick and how they coach, and I don't think they were dirty plays, but I think it passed the line of physicality. That line we've kind of been talking about where it became excessive. So number one was the non-call on DeAndre's layup. Everyone in the world just look at that play, and they reviewed it, and I'm just like in shock. I don't know, and I guess I got to know the rules better, so maybe I don't know the rules. I felt he got absolutely obliterated and dislocated his thumb, so he'll be questionable. And then Evan, around the same time, I can't remember if it's before or after, Turner contests his two-point shot, comes under, clearly under him, right? Shooters need space to land, and is pushed off balance, in kind of our opinion, and tweaks his ankle pretty bad. I think you guys saw him limping the rest of the game. He'll be questionable. But I have a problem when we got, you know, two of our best players doubtful for tomorrow's game. It's hard for me to get my head around that.
I think the only thing we missed is that I don't believe a thing Kenny Atkinson said when he said, I don't think the Pacers are dirty. I guarantee you, when he was walking away, he was calling them dirty bastards. I guarantee you that Kenny...
Probably.
And same thing with the referees. Like, Kenny has more criticisms, but he handled it in a specific way. And so, like, to me, I didn't hear, hey, the refs are why we lost. What I heard is, the refs are why we had injuries because certain things weren't called a certain way. That's not blaming the refs on why you lost. And yet, I heard it with the Morning Boys today. I heard it on other shows. Oh, Kenny's taking the easy way out. I didn't hear a single easy way out in what he said. I think he was trying to protect his guys.
What's the easy way out? I'm confused by that.
Well, blaming the refs. Blaming the refs is a Homer, I think Lyman said, Homer-licious thing to do.
Oh, okay, well, they were getting on you more for saying the refs were the problem for five games.
Yeah. No.
I think that's where some of the discourse maybe started to come from as far as being accused of being a homer.
I think Lima was specific about both things, about game one and about the first four games.
You said multiple times you didn't think they lost. You said it in the clip. You didn't think they lost because of anything that happened in the first game.
I believe I even said I don't think it was in top five reasons why they lost.
Right. So I guess I'm confused as to where the criticism comes
from. Well, no, I think Kenny's getting criticism. I meant
from Lima Wabi to you.
Oh, that's just
par for the course then.
I think it's just shows on shows. That's
shows
what we
on
do.
Shows. Yeah. I didn't think it
personally. I thought it was funny. I actually texted him. I thought it was funny.
Okay, now you say it that way, and it seems like you took it personally.
No.
I know you didn't, but
no, I didn't really.
When you said it that way, it just was a little funny.
No, okay. Well, I don't know how to say it any differently.
Okay, then.
Now, no, I really didn't. Now I feel like because you're not buying it, I'm trying to sell it.
I bought it until then you presented it that way. It was like,
well, no, that was like a proof of like, I would, like, if I took it personally, I would have texted them, hey, that was really funny.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I really like that.
I know, but it wasn't really... I guess it was just an unnecessary... throw out of I didn't find it personal is my read on that.
So should I have said I did find it personal?
No. I think not bringing it up at all probably would have been the real mark of you not taking it personally.
Oh, wait, what? That
like well, not bringing it
so
up,
I
being
think,
like
I think it was it, more it,
like putting it out there, like and I didn't take it personally, made it then seem like you did take it personally.
All right, so let's get the we'll try and get the train back on the right tracks here.
Yeah.
Kenny Atkinson, I think, has been portrayed as a guy who was complaining about the refs, meaning like the way J.B. Bickerstaff used
to. I mean, he did complain about the refs. He just didn't do it anywhere close to what J.B. did.
But, like, it wasn't a nebulous thing. It wasn't blaming that for the loss.
For sure.
It was blaming it for the injuries.
No, you have to do that in order to make sure the rest of the series doesn't go with all your guys injured.
Well, and, yeah, you have to, like, okay, specific to what he said, to me, the most concerning one was the DeAndre Hunter no call because it was obvious and they reviewed it.
Right.
And with the way reviews work now, you're able to make even more judgments on either side whether it's a dirty call or not.
You should just be able to see that the left hand jammed him right in the chest.
But I will say, like, the fact that the Pacers, one of the biggest things that the NBA, and I can't remember, it wasn't Harden, but there was an injury like, was it Clay or was it KD? Like 4 or 5 years ago, that's when the NBA started really enforcing landing zone. And I actually went back on watching the Pacers game one. They didn't enforce that at all.
Well, remember,
now, for either team, but they certainly didn't do it for Indy.
Initially, it was a James Harden thing, remember? And then Harden actually changed how he did his step back in order to make sure that he didn't get injured in those moments.
So, like, I don't think Kenny crossed any lines or blamed anything. And it was wild because I feel like what you and I said yesterday, which is, I think this is fair game. I think he's protecting his guys. And I think the two calls, I think if he had just done like, yeah, there's some bad officiating in that.
Yeah.
I think the fact that he was specific about the two calls and then gave the injury, like.
No, you got to do it, but let's
like
be honest.
I still don't think this is fine worthy, by the way.
You got to do it. I commend him for doing it. You have to say these type of things. And if he gets a fine, he gets a fine. It is what it is. That's $50,000 well spent. But this is now put it out for the fan base. Like, everyone's going to be Hawkeye on these officials.
You think fans need encouragement to be?
I think fans love it. I think they seek
officials.
It out to begin with anyway. And yes, if anything, it'll feel like if you go after the officials tonight, it's going to make it feel like you're on behalf of Kenny Atkinson.
Like
almost like you're sticking up for the coach. And there's nothing a fan base would love more than to get on the refs while also seeming like you're sticking up for Atkinson.
I think fans blame, and this is true of everywhere. I think fans blame refs no matter what calls they get or don't get, and I do think that's a fair thing to say, but like I don't think Kenny Atkinson saying that, like I'm watching more.
I mean, fans pay attention to all this stuff though, Nick, you know that.
Yeah, but the
moment anything that comes close to any one of the two plays that Atkinson was critical of or anything that was even questionable, fans are going to be on these refs' throat tonight.
Yeah, but I'm already locked into that because of what happened, and specifically the Mathurin foul. because Mathurin didn't just foul him, then he stood over him, which in and of itself could have been a technical.
Right, but it highlighted it, and now we've been talking about it for 24 hours. Like you said, you would think about it. Maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. I don't think I would be thinking about either one of those plays right now.
Oh, I think I would.
They both probably would have been in my rearview mirror. There's a lot of things I thought about with game one. Both those plays probably would have been in my rearview mirror.
So I'll be watching the officiating for a different reason tonight. I want to see if it worked for Kenny.
Well, do they give him a lot of calls based off of him complaining in game one?
I just want to see an evenly officiated game. I thought the Cavs got away with murder in the third quarter, and there were multiple plays that just shouldn't have been, and then they had the light touch on Evan Mobley early in the game. Like, I don't think it was a wildly consistent game. That bugs me as much as just it's one-sided or this, that, the other.
But it wasn't Tibbs in the New York series in round one being like, why did they go to the line 20 more times than we did? Like, the free throws were relatively close as far as the difference between the end of the game. Like, it wasn't as if it felt like that they were calling it completely one-sided or another. And here's something I did agree with Lima on, where Lima mentioned he was near the bench and how Carlisle and the Pacers thought that they were getting robbed. I do remember in the second quarter, because now I've been like piloting myself into Indiana fans, and they were complaining heavily about the idea that we were having a lot of homer calls called on behalf of the Cavs.
216-474-0092. We want to hear from you guys on this one. Will you be watching? I got that, buddy. Sorry, we're still working stuff out here. But will you guys be locked in to officiating tonight to see just how tightly this is called and whether the Cavs get jobbed in a few more calls tonight? Now, that was a homer-licious way to say that. Todd in Akron, welcome to the show, buddy.
Sounds like a Fergie song.
Thank you. I called in about 2 months ago, and I said when the Cavaliers play physical, but they're not playing physical, right, that the refs are not going to call. They're going to call it against the Cavs. Now we got Indiana falling and breaking limbs, and now they're not calling at all. I'm just hoping the Cavs get as physical as they are, and they got to do the same dirty plays to Indiana and see if the refs will call those plays. What about that?
Let's
match dirty with dirty, eye for an eye.
Yeah.
No. Oh, sorry about that.
He's like, hell yeah, you say that, JP.
I didn't realize you were going to keep going there,
he's
buddy.
Like, exactly what I'm talking about.
Anybody else get Baby Billy vibes from Todd?
Oh, really?
Any Righteous Gemstones fans out there? Just hear a little Baby Billy there. Just a little bit. No? All right, if I'm on an island, island. Maybe it's because I just watched the finale today.
I think I need to go back and watch more of it. I told you, I watched episode one, season four, which has nothing really to do with the main cast at all, and it was really good, and I haven't gone back.
We will get more into the physicality part of this coming up in the 3 o'clock hour because Jared Allen had a couple interesting things to say. I just think when it comes to the officiating, like, I'll double down. I don't think the Cavs have gotten superstar treatment in the playoffs at all. That's not why they had struggles in certain spots in games one or two, but I think it just feels like every – it feels like there is a status that is owed to great teams in the NBA, and for whatever reasons, the Cavs don't get those calls yet.
I think those teams, though, typically are teams – they're great teams over years with an S.
I mean, the Cavs have won 150 games in 3 years.
I get
and they've
that,
been a top
the
four
Cavs,
seed for all
I get
three
that,
years.
But the Cavs are nowhere close to what Boston's done over the past couple years as far as for building up what is close to a dynasty. Like, we talk about great teams. It's a very good
they've
Cavs
won one
team.
Title.
It's a very good Cavs team. It's not a great Cavs team yet. They have a chance to do that.
They won 64 games.
Yes, for 1 year. My whole point is you have to do it for multiple seasons before you start being put in some sort of pantheon.
I just want to know, like, what is the magical theorem or algorithm to get in these delicious superstar calls?
No, but I think it's years with an S. I think you're having – Cavs had a world-class, awesome season, but I think it takes years with an S and some of those dynasties in order to start getting some of those calls. I can make an argument for as great as Jokic is in Denver, they did win a title a couple years ago. They don't get many calls either. Like, there's a lot of teams that don't get calls. You think the Thunder get a lot of calls?
So is it just if you play in a big market or if you have LeBron James in your team, how you get calls?
I don't think it's that. I think historically within the NBA, I think – first off, we're in a time where you've had six title winners in the previous 6 years. You have more parity than you typically have. But throughout historically in the NBA, it's been obvious which dynasties are which, whether that's the Warriors, whether it's the Lakers, whether it's the Bulls, and then those teams typically get the calls.
I just think it just feels like when we say, like, well, Denver doesn't get it. Well, Denver's not considered a main NBA market. OKC doesn't get it. All right, well, that's year two. Okay, well, the Cavs don't get it. Well, who does? Boston? Golden State? Oh, okay. All right. It just feels a little more picky and choosy than anything else.
I don't make the rules. Don't shoot the messenger here. It's just
No.
It's just historically
I'm not trying to shoot the messenger.
Based off of what it's you're right. Then you're right. That I don't think it's major market bias. It's just most dynasties have been in major markets.
216-474-0092.
Disagreeing?
How locked into the officiating will you be tonight? I think it's just a very selective process, and I'd like to know. I want to know, like, does Tim Donaghy head that one up? I just want to know, like, who's on the selection committee on when you get crowned and when you don't get crowned, and like whether market size plays a factor into it at all. Now, we have had plenty of Cavs talk here. Want to hear from you guys. We get back to the Cavs coming up.
That sounded very Homer-licious, by the way.
Me and Fergie, we're Homer-licious. Mm-hmm. Everybody's been saying that about
us. That's what I heard. Yeah.
But the number game of the Cleveland Browns in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, the numbers are out for the Browns here. Mason Graham, 94. Shedeur Sanders choosing number 12. Dylan Sampson, 22. Dylan Gabriel. Just realized we had a double Dylan draft. Dylan Gabriel, number 5. Harold Fannin Jr., 88. Quinshon, 10. The German linebacker, 49. Can I tell you one thing, though?
Yeah, what's up?
MJ Emerson should not be the number one jersey. I think I've decided.
Didn't earn it after last year?
No. I mean,
he was not good last year.
He played like number two.
Also, but 23 is such a great number in general, and that's all because it's the MJ number, it's the LeBron number. It's such a heralded number. I don't think he deserved that either.
I don't think number one should just be handed out. I think you should have to earn it.
After Juan Thornhill?
Yeah,
we have a great string of number ones going.
Honestly, number one, ever since they've allowed position players to go into the single-digit jersey.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your websites, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks. And get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Number one in Cleveland has been synonymous with number two. Like Juan Thornhill, like it's the guys who want to be great. Who talk about how great they are and then don't back it up on the field. That's my fear for MJ Emerson after last year. this is kind of confirming my fear that that guy's he's having a backslide out of a second contract with the Cleveland Browns. But I hate it. I think it should be anointed. I think you have to have, like, there need to be, like, terms and conditions to have the number one.
Like, you must have a Pro Bowl. You must have, the problem with that is that if you're anything good, you want the number that you've always had because you've sold jerseys with it. It's synonymous with you. Like, you've accomplished things with it.
Yeah, well, that's what's wild about MJ. Isn't this MJ's, like, third jersey number?
I don't remember 23.
Wasn't he something before 23? Maybe I'm thinking back to rookie minicamps.
I don't remember that.
But I just don't love this. I don't like it for MJ. You haven't earned it. Even the initials.
That's why MJ in 23 worked so well because he was MJ in 23.
It did.
It was perfect for him. But then he started
playing like Marcus Jordan.
Well, I was going to say MJ number 45. That's what I was going to say, but yeah.
Don't love it. I'm upset about it.
Okay. Deontay Johnson, we have the contract and the terms out now. It's a one-year deal, $1.17 million, does not include any guaranteed money. So essentially, it's a zero-risk deal for the Browns for taking on Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, I still hate it.
Yeah, I do too. Oddly enough, like this didn't make me feel any better. I guess I understood why they did it, but I also don't know people that are knocking on Deontay Johnson's door to give him any more.
I just... If we were trying to win this year, if we really, I mean, hey, let's go all in to win, I would be all about this kind of move, and we'd eat up the fact that there's no guaranteed money. I don't want this dude around young players. It's as simple as that. And I don't know him, so I want, you know, like, listen, he's here. We're going to give him a chance now.
Yeah.
But we are going to be screaming, I told you so, if this guy pulls jackassery and has to be cut at any point this season.
It's more than just the equivalent of people are like, oh, that's like taking Shador in the fifth round. It's a lottery pick, and if it works out, great. No, because if it doesn't work out, he might have infected a lot of pieces of this team.
Well, and, like... I just can't get the idea. I think it was one of the guys from Baltimore, maybe Bob Haney, coming on this station and saying, you know, Deontay was screaming in the locker room after the Ravens' huge win in the regular season because he didn't get enough touches. And it's like, wait. So you're winning. You won one of the best games of the regular season last year.
Yeah, and it was just all
about
him.
And it was about you.
Yeah.
Like, how? Okay, that's in winning. Winning covers up almost all warts, and it didn't with this guy.
The man wanted to fight Mitch Trubisky. When has Mitch Trubisky ever seemed like a fighter?
That one I got.
Oh, stop
it. I've watched Mitchell Trubisky play football. I understand wanting to fight Mitchell Trubisky. Not me personally. But if your career was dependent on Mitchell Trubisky and getting paid on Mitchell Trubisky, yeah, I could understand.
Why don't we have more quarterback wide receiver fights like that? They get mad about the touches. They get mad about the quarterback just missing opportunities and everything like that. Because there's a lot of money at stake with these guys.
I guarantee you it happens much more than we realize there.
Yeah, you might be right about that. All right, an anonymous Colorado fan identifying himself as John Doe is suing the NFL, Nick. $100 million. You want to know why?
What's that?
Emotional distress caused by Shador Sanders dropping to the fifth round of the draft.
Is his name Sion Danders?
No, that cost him $45 million. So maybe it's not.
I don't know if Dion is trying to get 100 from the league there.
That would be funny. I don't know that you can sue the NFL. You can sue anybody for anything, I guess. And this is maybe just proof of that.
He must be a lawyer, because what lawyer is taking him up on this? What lawyer is like, this fan has a legitimate complaint?
Yeah.
Unless he just paid a retainer and the lawyer's like, yeah, I'll take your money, you idiot.
Or he had him on retainer for something else.
That's true.
You know, he's just like, it's the attorney I have on retainer because I pay so much money.
Hey, now that
I got mad about the draft, let me just go ahead and just use him for this.
Listen, you got me out of the whole thing with the driving and the whatnot. I'm going to also need you to sue the NFL for $100 million.
It sounds like the idea that like four buddies would have while sitting around and just being drunk, and then one of them happens to be an attorney, and then all of a sudden the wheels got in motion, and then before you know it, they woke up at 3 in the morning and they're suing the NFL.
He just like typed up in a drunken stupor, 100 pages.
And like even sent it off probably.
And sent it off, and they woke up.
And they're like laughing the entire time about it.
I guess
we're suing him now.
I mean, Kevin put his name on it. You can't do anything else.
And then they label themselves John Doe, because that'll show the NFL.
Also, what a coward move.
Well, the NFL can't write you your check if you're John Doe. What's the point there?
I just think, my emotions. Oh, John Doe.
You mean say it with your chest?
Say it with conviction. Omaha! Yep. Either the NFL draft is fixed or birds have magical powers. Here's a NFL.com video of Dylan Gabriel communing with nature and talking to birds the day before he got drafted.
This is where all the boys would get together, at least in the neighborhood. Wanted to talk story or hang out. Check out the view. That bird back there.
What are they saying?
Cleveland Browns, 94. That's what he said. Cleveland Browns.
So he said Cleveland Browns, 94.
Oh, no.
So
this is way more problematic than Shador Sanders rapping or whatever else people want to get on him for.
All right,
he's a bird guy?
I mean, I would say the fact that he knew he was going to go 94 to the Browns a day before the draft is more problematic to me that they made some
sort
of promise.
That was a day before the draft?
Yep.
So he called it out exactly?
Yes.
So he's talking to a bird medium as well?
No, I think the
or
bird's a
the
patsy
medium?
Here.
The
I think the bird is Lee Harvey. All right? I think the Browns gave him a draft guarantee of we're going to take you with a 94th pick, which is wild because nobody thought he was worth a top 100 pick. Who are they protecting him from? Pick 150?
The birds.
The second time they took a quarterback? Good Lord.
So
I hope it's the birds.
Is he actually a bird guy, or was this all just kind of like a bit then for him to be proven right later on?
I guess he and his boys just go out there and bird call.
They just go birding, huh?
Things are different from when we were young.
Man, so different.
We would call after birds in a much different way.
Well, I feel like you know, watching birds is a very much like a 65, 70-year-old type thing.
Yeah.
You know, you get up in that age, and then all of a sudden you start doing some bird watching. Maybe you go out there and identify trees or something. I don't know. I'm sure that's a thing that people do. Who does that in college?
Potheads.
Potheads?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, ask and answer.
Ah, look at the birds.
Ask and answer.
I went Bob Dylan there.
Yeah?
Yeah,
that impression was for the birds. Giannis, according to a report from Howard Beck, wants to play in, this is going to make you happy, Los Angeles, New York, or Miami.
Thank
if he
God.
Leaves the Bucks.
Thank God.
Yeah, those are the teams that he selected. Los Angeles, New York, or Miami. But, you know, Miami, they're awful, and yet we knew this would be the case. They just get grouped into everything because it's Miami.
Yeah. At this point, I can't really get upset with Giannis. Because he has earned his small market bona fides.
Okay, because he won a title with a small market that then gives him small market immunity for the rest of his life.
And he stayed there. He said, what, the third contract in Milwaukee?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, it's hack. I'm going to go to I'm going to go to Miami, L.A., or where?
New York.
Yeah, hack. That is a hack idea. There's nothing interesting about that. But I'm going to give him the Peterlin pass for this because he won a championship in Milwaukee, which is harder to do in the big market.
I think it'd be dangerous with the Knicks. That would instantly change the trajectory for them next season.
Do you
trade
Cat for him? Because they can't trade picks.
Yeah, no, yeah. As long as they keep so my initial outline was you had to keep Cat and Brunson and then find any way to get that done. If that means you trade Bridges and then you start going down the roster and you just make it work, then that's how you become a true force. I think they need Cat, but if you go Brunson and Giannis, we can make that work. If you're a Knicks fan, you're very, very excited about that development.
Here's the other part of this. I think Giannis is on the other half of the career. I don't think Giannis is going to be playing till he's 40.
No. That's Doc Rivers that did that to you right there. Doc Rivers skewed that for you.
I think
don't let Doc Rivers paint you a bad Giannis framework here.
You ready for it? I'm calling for an Achilles injury in the next 3 years.
Oh, jeez.
I'm soothsaying. I'm like
How
the birds.
How are you calling it?
I'm like the birds.
Achilles injury.
He's had a lot of calf injuries.
Yeah.
And what calf
I didn't,
injuries
can we call
synonymous?
Out injuries like that? Is that a thing
I think
we can
I just
do?
Did.
I think you just did.
He already struggles with calf injuries. One day, he's going to go full Gerald Wilkins. That sounded a lot more violent than I wanted it to.
That's okay.
Or something else. 216-474-0092. Is the draft fixed or are birds magical? Or did the Browns give Dylan Gabriel a draft guarantee, which is wild because he's terrible at football. And for the NFL, not in college, of course. When we come back, physicality and calling it out for the Cavs in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.